Friends, I'm turning this morning to 2 Peter chapter 3 and to verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and to verse 18. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. And our title is Growing in Grace and Knowledge. Growing in grace and knowledge. Because this, where we have read now, is the concluding part of the letter of 2 Peter chapter 3. And it follows a discussion. There was a discussion on four teachers. There were three issues. Four teachers, the return of Christ, and the importance of remaining steadfast. That's what he was exhorting them on. Four teachers, the return of Christ, and the importance of remaining steadfast in the faith. In the morning, we mentioned some people arguing about the coming of Christ, and here again, he's warning them about scoffers who, through some scornful means, will try to debate about the coming of Christ, whether it's going to happen or not. So here, he warned them about four teachers, the return of Christ, and how to remain steadfast or how to remain strong in the faith. And now, the emphasis here, or what we are going to dwell on today, is growing in knowledge and in grace. We all know that in life there are many things that we cannot force to happen, and yet we can have an influence on. Many things in our life that we cannot force to happen, and yet we can have an influence on such things. And such is one of them, is to grow. We will expand that later. There's a quote here that I want to share with you. It says, you cannot force your garden vegetables to grow, but you can water, feed, and care for them to help them to grow. You can never force the garden vegetables to grow, but you can water, feed, and care for them to help them to grow. That's one thing. Second, you cannot force people to like you. You can never do that. But you can be friendly and likable to such people if you want them to like you. You cannot force your children to be godly, but you can influence them in that direction. So these are quotes that I wanted to begin our lesson with and to ponder over them, because we are going to talk about growth and how to grow in grace and in knowledge. So the context this morning, God commands us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just like I quoted, we cannot force a spiritual growth to take place in our life, but we can certainly have a huge impact on it. Even though we cannot force spiritual growth, we can have a huge impact on this spiritual growth that it will happen. There's another saying that what is healthy grows. Anything that is healthy, it grows. And I think we all understand it. When even a child is not growing, there's something they call kwashiorkor. He's not growing. When the plant is not growing, we have names and so many things for them. Because I come from a village, I've been in farming before, I know when a particular plant is not growing, these are the words that we see, that there's no life in them, and therefore they must be cut away. So everybody expects something that has health to grow. And we have the same thing in the world and in our experience as people. We expect our babies to grow, as I've just said. If a baby is not growing, we call them something like kwashiorkor or whatever it is. So whatever is natural and is healthy must grow. And it's the same thing with us. You can't be a babe in Christianity all your life. How are you growing? Ask yourself, since I became a Christian, since I became born again, how am I growing in grace and in knowledge? It's something that we must always check our life. We were babes in Christ when we were saved, but we must grow. We can't remain there forever and ever, because what is healthy will grow. So if we are not growing in grace and knowledge, we are not healthy spiritually. That's what Apostle Paul, Peter is saying here. When we are not growing in grace and in knowledge, then we are not healthy. And if we are not healthy, then our salvation is questionable. Because when you are saved and you are healthy spiritually, you must grow. It's as simple as that. If we are not growing, then your salvation is questionable. So if you hear Paul speak of Christians, in Psalm 84, we have a similar thing there, that we are pilgrims and we grow from strength to strength. Apostle Paul also said the same thing, that Christians being rooted in Christ and built up in them, and of growing up in Him in all things. Are you growing like Christ? Friends, it is a very serious matter that we must always think about. Look at yourself since you were saved. If you are truly saved, how are you growing? How are you measuring it, your growth spiritually? Christians, when we are born again, most of them grow up before they are born again. But let's say you are fortunate to be born again as a young person, and you have grown to become maybe about 50, 60, 70, 80. How are you growing? See, how grown are you? If you became a Christian when you were about 30, 25, and maybe you are about 50 now, how are you growing? Can you measure it for all those 15 years? How are you growing? Are you still as you were before you were saved, or as at the time you were saved? These are questions that you must always ask. Christians should never quit growing, but we must keep on growing in the Lord, as the Word of God says. This implies that when we have reached our peak, we are not supposed to be called kids anymore. We are no more kids. We are grown up now. I can imagine somebody calling a child as a baby, and that's what it is. If you are not growing in Christ, in knowledge and in grace, you are a baby. In Christ, you have remained to be a baby, like a child. And you know, children are fed with milk. Adults are not fed with milk. So at your level, you must be able to understand certain deep things in the scriptures. So we'll come to learn more about this thing. So you must always ask yourself, how much have I grown in the Lord since I became a Christian? Or if you have been an adult for some time, how much have I grown since I was young? These are questions that you must always ask yourself. Are you still growing? Are you trying to grow? These are very important things for every Christian. So now let's come back to our passage. As I was saying, as we read from verse 3 to 6, the apostle was warning against those who distort the scriptures. And we see it in our day. People always distorting the scriptures. This afternoon we were just discussing this. And in the morning, I made mention of people who, when they love their sin, they try to find faults with the scriptures. So people are always trying to punch holes in the scriptures to prove that the Bible is not even true, all because it points to their sin, and they love their sin. So you see, there are people who are always trying to do this. And so Paul is warning them, Peter is warning them, that be careful about people who distort the scriptures and those who mock the idea of Christ coming. We read it this morning. I also mentioned it. Since Christ came, how long is it that He has not come? The question I was asking this morning, you asking that question, how old are you to ask a question, something that has written the scriptures from the beginning when He mentioned about His coming? He came in exactly the same way as it was mentioned in the scriptures, to be born by a virgin, and all these things happen. Now, the same Bible says He will come again. And you are asking, how long is it since He came? So because of that, you are doubting. So the apostle is warning people about people who mock the scriptures about the coming of Christ. And then in verse 17, he gives an encouragement. he gave the importance of not being led astray by false teachers, and then he encouraged them to remain steadfast. That's the background to this passage that we just read. Let's see what he said in verse 17. Say ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, talking about what he has already said about people, about the false teachers, and those who will be questioning about the coming of Christ. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, by growing in grace and in knowledge. So here, he was encouraging them that because of what they have known, they should grow in grace. Otherwise, false teachers, and we see them around in our day, they will deceive you. If you are not grounded in the faith, if you are not grounded in your scriptures, they will deceive you with false teaching. So we see that the core message of John 2 Peter 3:18 is growth. To grow in grace and in knowledge of Christ. So basically what he's saying is that growing in grace and in knowledge will help us to resist those false teachers, to resist those who are questioning the coming of Christ. You see, so you must be grounded in your scriptures when you are growing, and then you'll be able to resist all these errors. We call them errors because they are not true. Whatever the Bible says is true. Anything that is contrary to the scriptures is not true. But for you to know this, you must grow in grace and in knowledge. Otherwise, you will also be deceived. So Peter calls for growth in both favor. You know, grace is an unmerited favor. It's a favor that God has given us. We don't deserve it. And yet, so we must grow in them, in that grace, and the deeper understanding of who Christ is, his person, and his work, that is knowledge. We were saved by grace because we do not merit it. And in that grace, we must grow. That salvation must grow. That's what I said from the beginning. Otherwise, your salvation is questionable. You must grow. And then the deeper understanding of who Christ is and his work in this world, what did he come for? You must grow in them. And in growing in them, you'll be able to stand against all these false teachings, and you'll be grounded in the faith. Hosea quoted, said something about this. I want you just to see a few quotes on this growth and in knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So you see here, it's another warning. If you are not growing in grace, like the tree that is not healthy, it's cut away. God, in the same way that if you are not growing in knowledge, he will also forget about you. And it's a very serious thing. Job 36 verse 12 said the same thing. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. They shall die without knowledge. So you see how important it is to have knowledge and to grow in them. Without that, you will die. There are a few quotes here I want us to just go to support what we are saying. And when we come to the New Testament, James chapter 1 verse 5. He said, but if any of you lack wisdom, which is knowledge, wisdom is knowledge of scriptures. When we say wisdom, it means knowledge of scriptures. And he said that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and unabated not, and he shall be given him. You see, if you lack wisdom, if you lack knowledge, ask God, and God will give. So he said all these things to show the importance of knowledge and growing in that knowledge. And that verse 18, it concludes with a hymn of praise, which attributes to the glory of our Lord and Savior, etc. He said, to him be glory, both now and forever. So he was saying this to acknowledge the worthiness of Christ and the source of all blessings. See, to him be glory, both now and forever. So in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, Peter is, as I said, explaining to them the reason why they must grow in grace and in knowledge, so that false teachers will not be able to lie to them, but they will understand everything that is said in scriptures. Unfortunately, or sadly, we don't hear of such spiritual growth in our day. There's no spiritual growth. What people think is spiritual growth is not spiritual growth. When people think they can speak in tongues and shout and they think it is spiritual growth, it is not true. It is not why churches are filled with so many people and yet there's no spiritual growth, because they are not growing according to how God wants them to grow, which we are going to learn very, very soon. They believe in dramatic experiences and instant solutions to their problems. When the Bible says when you pray, wait, God either answers you directly, or he tells you to wait. He tells you to wait, or he tells you no, it might not be good for you. They want it now. And you see that the way they pray, we want it now and now and now. That's how they want their solution. The Bible doesn't teach that. So they want their spiritual problem solved now, but they don't want the lasting victory which God gives, which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives. And that is why we have so many people in those churches and there's no spiritual growth. This afternoon when I was coming, I was talking to one the pastor that brought me. I was trying to invite him to church, and he said he goes to a different church. I was trying to explain to him the difference between our church and the charismatic, and he won't have anything to do with that, because his prophet, whatever the prophet tells him, comes to pass. It's very, very, very sad. So because of this, many, many, many people are suffering from lack of development, from growing, because of the deceptions that go on, the lies and the magic that goes on there. People are not seeking to be matured through a continual process of growth as God has given us. They don't do that. They want them to be telling them things that pleases them. And therefore, we are in a serious trouble. Churches are filled with many, many people, but without proper spiritual growth. God has designed that we mature through a continual process of growth. It is clear in the scriptures. We are going to talk about them very, very soon. So, like I said, while God has given us a way to grow, people are going by the other way. So churches are filled with people who are spiritually immature, undiscerning, weak, and fragile. That is why when we hear of some prophets, sometimes you prophesy something. When it doesn't happen and you ask them, you say, well, what? That's what God told me. How can God tell you a lie? And people are still following them because of lack of knowledge. They are not growing in grace. They are not growing in knowledge. And when it is even blatantly clear that they are lying, they still believe them. It's very, very, very sad. So now, there's no spiritual growth, and everywhere you go, it's all about these prophecies and vain promises and all that. The true knowledge of God is not there. Friends, it is very, very severe. And like I said, if you are like that, if you are not growing, your salvation can also be questionable. But the question you should ask yourself, are you growing? If you are not, or you are not satisfied with the way you are growing, then be very, very careful, because God intends for every Christian to grow spiritually or to mature. Why is it necessary to grow in grace and in knowledge? I asked a similar question in the morning. Why should we be holy before we can go to heaven? It is the same question here. Why should we grow in knowledge and in grace for us to be able to resist the temptations to believe false teachers? And the answer is because God has commanded it. Everything in the scripture is a command. So here God commands us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. So it is an obligation and also a privilege that we must grow in grace and in knowledge. Every day that we progress in our spiritual life towards our Father, a higher personal position It's an experimental knowledge of him and who he is and his way. So if you are not growing in knowledge, then, like I said, your salvation is questionable. You don't know the God who wrote the scriptures. He is the author, and you can only know him when you personally desire to grow in grace and in knowledge. So it should be the desire of every believer to grow in knowledge and understanding of God, because he commands it. Why has he commanded it? Because it is, you need it to be able to stand against temptation and also false teachings. So now, because of all what I've just said, I want to share with you some of the ways to grow in knowledge and understanding of God. So what does it mean to grow in knowledge, or to even have knowledge of God? And I have a few points here. To have knowledge is to have facts. You must have facts about God. When you say facts, it's things that are proven to be true. And if you study the scriptures, you know that scriptures is proven to be true. This afternoon, I was listening to our Sunday school teaching why the Bible, the Quran, or any other book cannot be compared with the Bible. And a few of the points that the young man was giving is about the fact that this Bible was written by different people, about 40 different people from different backgrounds. Some were mere farmers, kings, tax collectors, other people, and yet they were talking about the same thing from different generations over 1,600 years, and yet they are talking about the same thing. These are facts. This means that the Bible is true, and you must have these facts for you to know about God and to prove that His word is true. And what does the Bible say about God? He talks about God as a personal spirit who is all powerful. And you must know this. The Bible talks about God as a personal spirit who is all powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. From the time you were born to the time you will die, God knows. He's sovereign. He's holy. And He's righteous. All these facts you can know from the scriptures. So to know about God is to know about facts of who God is. And the fact is just what I've just put to you. That God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, sovereign, holy, and righteous. And He's also described as loving. He loves us in spite of all our sins. He is merciful. If God was not merciful, those people who are talking about Christ not coming, if God was not merciful, where would they be? If God were to act as He was doing before in those days without mercy, nobody who can go to heaven will all be dead. God is a merciful Father. God is faithful. Whatever He says, He will do. We know from scriptures, whatever God has said has come to be true. So these are all the facts that you must know about God. God is unchanging. He never changes. God has been who He is right from the beginning to now, and He continues to be that until the end of time. And you must know all these things. And the Bible also talks about God being eternal. He doesn't die. He will be forever and ever. And He said He was existing before time began. These are all facts that you must know about God. And you can never know them outside of knowledge of grace. And God also that is why the Bible says that He called the atheists fools. You see, with all these facts, if you don't believe that there's God, that's why we call you a fool. Because all these things prove who God is, and we must know so that we are not deceived. You must also have information about God. You must have facts, must have information. The dictionary defines information as knowledge obtained from investigation, study, or instruction. Those who are saying that Have they studied the Bible? What do they know about the Bible? You must have knowledge, information, which is knowledge that we obtain from. Have you investigated that the Bereans said they studied the scriptures to prove that whatever he said is true? So it is from investigation and the study or instruction. What are the instructions? The sermons we preach, Sunday school that we teach the children. These are all the ways of knowing our God. And the Bible says that God is the greatest entity that ever existed. And it will be to be known as the one who causes everything, whether good or bad. God, if God does not allow you to happen, to die, nobody can kill you. Whatever happens, God allows it to happen. And he is the cause of everything. And he is also the creator. And he sustains what he has created. He's the creator and sustainer and the ruler of the whole universe. These are information about God. The first one were facts about God. These are information about God. And then you must have a spiritual awareness. Spiritual awareness. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So you see, for you to be spiritually aware is to view the world also spiritually. Because this is what the Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We don't see them. Powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, they are all there, which we wrestle. How can you know? You can know all these things through the scriptures. So this means that you must understand that our struggles in this world is not against flesh and blood. So we don't settle on superficial views of this world. That human, we are our own. Cause no, there is something behind whatever happens in this world. Even though it might be caused by a human being, there is a powerful force behind it. You must know all this, but have all this information about the Bible. And like I said, why do we need all these things? We need them so that we can understand God's nature, his character, and who he is. And how do you do this? You can only do this when you engage with God on these different levels as I've told you. Fact, information, and awareness. You must be spiritually aware that even though we live all what we are seeing, there's some powerful spirit behind all that we are seeing. And you must understand all these things. And as a step, you must also have intellectual knowledge of our Lord. He said, "Grow in grace and knowledge in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So when you realize that you are not growing in understanding of God, then you must check your salvation. And also you must engage, as I said, the spiritual awareness. You must engage your mind, not only on things that you see here, because there is a spiritual, a powerful force that controls things in this world. Which means you must be spiritually minded, not only on things here. If you look at only on things here, you can never know God. Like I said, God is a spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. As I said in the morning, if God wants you to worship him in spirit and in truth, and you claim to be dancing to praise God, how will you do it? See, we praise God with our mind. That is why we have the hymns. So we must spiritually be spiritually minded. It means that thinking that there is a much powerful force and there is a powerful being beyond our existence in this world. So for you to really know God, it must come more than just a mental or intellectual search. You must have a spiritual awareness as well. That is why, as I said in the morning, the scribes and the Pharisees were the people who were versed with scriptures according to the generation at the time. And yet Christ said that our knowledge must be beyond them if we want to go to heaven. At the time, they saw them as the people who knew the scriptures. And yet, he was saying that our knowledge of God must be beyond them. The second level where we engage with God is also experimental. We have to experience God. You must prove God for you to know that it's true. Because whatever God says he will do. But you must prove him by also playing your part. If you play your part, you will see the power. I've always said that even in this church, if we show more commitment, we will really see the power of God, even though we are few. And outside this, we will also notice. But you must have a spiritual awareness and grow experimentally, experientially. You must experience God, not just by saying. So it's not just facts, it's not just information, even though they are all needed. You have to experience God. How do you experience God? By living according to how he wants you to live. Praying according to who will come with all those, according to how he wants you to pray. And then you can experience him and know his power. Without that, you can never know the power of God. So we are going to go through a few, I think my time is going, a few things that we need to do practically to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First is that you must spend time in the Word. As I said earlier on, you must spend time in reading the scriptures. You don't just open a page in the morning, read, and you go, or you want to understand something and you go. You must spend time in the Word. It is impossible to grow in the knowledge and understanding of God if you neglect His Word. See? God has carefully crafted the Word, as I said, over 1,500 years. And in this book, he reveals who he is. And you say that you won't read it. And you still claim to know God. You want a supernatural way of knowing God. You must spend time with the Word of God. You must read it and take your time to read and read and read. So knowing God and reading the scriptures are inseparable. You can never separate them. They must go together. And the knowing God can never happen when you don't read your scriptures. You can only know about him when you spend quality time in the scriptures. The second thing you must do is that you must spend time in worship. You see, as I said, the scripture makes you know who God is. He reveals God to you. And at the point that you know him, who he is, and therefore you come to him, as I said in the morning, with the deepest respect. If you know who God is, you can't come and be jumping around in his presence. That's why he said we should worship him in spirit and in truth. You must worship him and you spend time in worship. How many times do you worship the Lord? Fortunately, we have a church where we meet about how many times? 3 times in a week. Sometimes it becomes difficult to worship God on your own. We are fortunate that we come here on Sundays, we come here on Tuesdays, we come here on Wednesdays. In all of this, we come to worship the Lord. How do you do this? Do you make yourself available? I know some people cannot do it because of their work. But if you can, nothing should stop you from coming to worship the Lord. Nothing. Except there's nothing that you can do about it. Is as important as anything, more important than anything that you do. You come and worship him. So we must spend time in worship. And what is worship? Worship is when you begin the process of connecting your spirit with God's spirit. See how you connect your spirit. How can you do that? It is only in the place of worship that you can really, really do this. And then wonder who God is. So that the worship, in a way, facilitates and allow you to enter into God's presence. Very, very important. So if you are skipping what coming into the house of God, know what you are missing. You will never grow. You can't grow. You must spend time in prayer. You must spend quality time in prayer. Whether your personal prayer at home or when we come here for prayer meeting. That's why prayer meeting is the power of the church. And yet, people find it difficult to come. Any slight means they skip prayer meeting. But now when we come here, about three people before we start. You can never grow without spending quality time in prayer. Both in corporate prayer and in your personal prayer. You must spend time. When you are praying on your own, how do you pray? Do you just thank God for what he has done for you, for waking you up in the morning and then ask him to come? Do you know how to pray? How to spend quality time in prayer? You must study all these things. You must learn them. Because it is not any prayer that God hears. So you must spend time about prayer. Prayer is also where communion happens. So when you come to you kneel down before God, that's where you are truly communion with God. So that's where true communion takes place. Prayer is also where you can experience some of the character of God in prayer. This is where you are filled with his joy. A lot of things happen when you come to the Lord in prayer sincerely. And it is one of the means of growing in grace and in knowledge. You must spend time learning from others, from other believers. You must learn time. There's a saying that what something sharpens the other or something. As believers, we must spend time with each other and learn about each other. It is very, very, very important. And that is even a joy to know that we are not alone in the faith. We worship with other people, we have similar beliefs, and we all understand God in the same way. It's very, very important to learn from your other fellow believers. And you must also depend on the Holy Spirit. How are you depending on the Holy Spirit? Without him, we can do nothing. It is only with the Holy Spirit that we can worship, that we can study the scriptures, that we can learn from others, that we can pray. So, without him, there will be no desire to read the word of God, as we have said. Without him, there will be no understanding of who God is or any revelation without the Holy Spirit. There's no real depth in prayer without the Holy Spirit. You can never, never do that. You must rely on the Holy Spirit to do everything that you want to do. Christ, when he was going, what did he say? He said, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. And there's no understanding truth about God without him. If he says he is the one who will lead us in all truth, that means we can never, never know the truth or understand God if we don't lean on the Holy Spirit to teach us everything that we need to know. So friends, it is very, very important that we endeavor, we desire to grow in grace and in knowledge. Why? Because in the first place, God has commanded us that we should worship, we should grow in grace and in knowledge. And it is only in growing in grace that will let you be sure of your salvation. But like I said, if you are not growing, then you are not healthy. If you are not healthy, then you are not saved. It's as simple as that. And then he has given us the practical steps to take to be able to grow in grace. And let me remind you again of all of them. Spend time in the word. Read your word. Study your word sincerely and truly. Number two, you must spend time in worship. I know we can sometimes do worship at home with our parents, but when there's a time to meet and worship, come and bow down before him in worship, you must spend time to do that. You must spend time in prayer, in both your corporate prayer and in your personal prayer. So you must know how to pray. If you want to spend time in prayer, prayer is not just, like I said, coming to God and bowing down and asking for your needs. It begins with praises, and adoration and thanksgiving, confessions of your sins to Him, your petitions, then your prayer for other people, for your nation, for your relatives, for whoever, and then finally for your church. So if you have all these things to pray, at least you won't spend less than 30 minutes before the Lord. So if you say that you will spend time in prayer, these are how it goes. You pray according to what God wants you to pray. The third thing is that you must spend time learning from others. We all are believers, we have similar experiences, and as we share our experiences, we learn from each other, and they all make you grow. The last thing is that you must depend on the Holy Spirit. Without Him, we can do nothing. Christ left us in the hands of the Holy Spirit when He was going, and He said, He will teach us all things pertaining to the truth. So how do you know the truth about God? It is through the Holy Spirit. So my prayer is that the Lord will strengthen us, will help us to grow in grace and in knowledge. For me, before I come to the end, let me turn to John 16 and just read the conclusion there. John 16 verse 13. It says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you all things to come. He said a similar thing in 14 verse 26. John 14, let's turn the Bible as we come to the end. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So we need the Holy Spirit in order to grow in grace and in knowledge. May the Lord help us to be able to grow in knowledge, so that we can resist all the false teachers, all the false things about this life and about scriptures.